Mountain goat hunters are rescued after an accident on Porcupine Peak Saturday, and the Haines Chamber of Commerce clarifies the role of nonprofits. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The U.S. Coast Guard airlifted three men off a mountain near Haines on Saturday following a successful goat hunt. Brett Bond, a 29-year-old hunting guide from Anchorage, was facilitating the hunt. According to a dispatch from the state troopers, Bond, 58-year-old Chris Kilbane of Minnesota, and 33-year-old Rito Widmer of Switzerland were on their way down Porcupine Peak when Bond slipped and broke his leg. Porcupine Peak is around 30 miles outside of Haines near the Canadian border. Troopers received a report of an injured hunter around 4:10 p.m. They determined Bond was going into shock and that the hunters were not prepared to spend the night on the mountain. They requested assistance from the U.S. Coast Guard. Air Station Sitka responded, airlifting the hunters off the mountain just after 10 p.m. Kilbane and Widmer were transported to the Haines Airport, where they were evaluated and released. Bond was taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau for further treatment, where he was seen in the emergency room and released. According to the troopers, the hunters planned to retrieve the goat that was left on the mountain. In Haines, there's been an ongoing debate about what role nonprofits should have in the local Chamber of Commerce. On Friday, that question was finally answered. Starting next month, nonprofits can continue to be voting members, but they can't serve on the Chamber Board. Friday's vote on updated Chamber bylaws went differently than one back in August. At that initial vote, the amended bylaws were rejected 14-8. They may have been rejected because of the most contentious part of the bylaws, a section clarifying who can join the chamber and who can serve on the board. Chamber Board President Kyle Gray explains what the new bylaws do.
We broke up the members into three separate classes, primary members being a for-profit business, community members being government, nonprofits, or organizations or associations. And then third is supporting members, which would be just an individual that's not representative of a business or another entity.
Each category of members has a different level of power. Individuals can be members but not vote. Nonprofits can vote but not serve on the board. For-profits can vote and serve on the board.
Basically, board member eligibility is restricted to being a part of a for-profit business.
That's been a major sticking point in the bylaws discussion, whether nonprofits should have an equal role to for-profits in the chamber. Of the 116 current chamber members, 18 are nonprofits. Gray says opinion on the issue is polarized. Some people want to be fully inclusive of nonprofits, saying in such a small community they play a vital role. But others want to exclude nonprofits, saying they could dilute commercial interests.
So there was a division in the membership, if you want to call it that, where there was extremes on both sides. And this is the compromise.
On Friday, the compromise was successful. In a vote of 13-2, members approved the change. Gray says he thinks that's partly because he and other board representatives spent the past couple months talking to chamber members.
People came and talked to me a lot and just said, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And once I had the chance to really explain to a lot of people, I think they agreed at the end of the day that this was the right direction to go.
His explanation was this.
We did what we did to focus in on what a chamber is about. You know, a chamber is about advocating and supporting a business community.
In August, Gray said he thought the chamber might lose members no matter which way the bylaws turned out, because feelings were so strong on both sides. He hopes the last couple months of discussion with members will mean that doesn't happen. Gray says the vote may have also gone more smoothly this time around because of a new initiative the chamber is working on, an economic development corporation. Gray says nonprofit involvement will be a key part of that group. There were several other bylaw changes that were approved at Friday's meeting. They include altering the chamber's mission statement and allowing electronic voting. A proposal cutting the number of board members from 9 to 7 did not pass. The new rules go into effect November 1st. That means in this December's chamber election to fill 5 board seats, nonprofits and individuals will officially not be eligible to run. Tuesday's Haynesboro Assembly meeting will be the first for newly elected members Heather Lendy and Tom Morfitt. Municipal election results are set to be certified at the beginning of the meeting. Then, Lendy and Morfitt will take the seats of outgoing members George Campbell and Diana Lapham. Also at Tuesday's meeting, an ordinance amending code around Heliski map committees will be introduced. Borough Manager Bill Seward proposed the changes to clarify who can serve on the committee. The ordinance will go through 2 public hearings before being adopted or rejected by the Assembly. The Assembly will also consider a revised ordinance that gives the Planning Commission more opportunity to review borough projects. The changes stem from dissatisfaction over the planning process for the small boat harbor expansion. After some debate, the Assembly decided to proceed with distribution of about $60,000 in grant funding to local nonprofits. 9 organizations applied for grants by last week's deadline. On Tuesday, the Assembly will review and potentially confirm the committee that will make recommendations on the grant funding requests. Finally, the Assembly will consider a sales tax exemption request from another out-of-state Boy Scout troop. The meeting is set for 6:30 p.m. Tuesday in Assembly Chambers. Southeast food producers and fishermen may be able to expand their markets in the near future. The Southeast Watershed Coalition is working to set up a system to sell and distribute local foods throughout the region over the next 3 years. KSTK's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Southeast Watershed Coalition received a $500,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture in late September to set up a distribution and sales system for Southeast-produced foods.
Part of it is developing a regional food hub that will help to aggregate and distribute local foods throughout the region.
That's Watershed Coalition Executive Director Angie Flickinger. She says the second part is helping provide the tools necessary for existing and potential food producers, as well as direct market fishermen through workshops and an annual conference. Flickinger says the system would be based on an online marketplace, allowing producers such as existing farms in Haynes and Petersburg to sell their products throughout the region.
And we would allow consumers to go on there and purchase foods, and then we would set up distribution centers where we would aggregate those foods and then either ship them out or set up a date where, you know, if we had a distribution center in Juneau, folks from the community could come and pick up those foods.
She says the coalition plans on building 2 distribution centers in Juneau and Haynes. Both would offer cold storage facilities for perishable foods, and all of the products would be certified by the Department of Environmental Conservation. Flickinger says this idea was sparked from a feasibility study the Toshnock Watershed Council did last year, examining the market for local foods in Haynes.
And so they did some research into the market and their community and some of the producers that exist. And so that kind of helped spawn this concept where we thought, you know, if we combined a lot of these producers who are, you know, based throughout the region, we could create a bigger market and make it more accessible.
The coalition will work to identify producers throughout the region. Flickinger says the first conference will take place in Haynes in early 2017.
But our hope is that once we can get the food hub model established and that infrastructure sorted out, that it will be a self-sustaining program in the future.
Flickinger says the delivery of food will be based on access to each community, and more information will be available as the program progresses. Partners Ha'ani, Sea Alaska's nonprofit arm, The Sustainable Southeast Partnership and the Taushanak Watershed Council in Haines have jumped on to help fund the program. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.